According to this recent survey, we've found that about two-thirds of people don't have a will. The results also show that 75% of people have never spoken to someone about their end-of-life wishes, and only a third of people have talked to their partner about making a will.
And why do you think that there's so many people out there who don't have a will?
I think that's a good question. I think that when it comes to making a will, there's always other things that can seem more urgent. People are so busy dealing with day-to-day life that preparing something like a will just always seems like something that can wait.
Obviously, probably a big part of people not making wills and things like that is a sort of reluctance for people to actually talk to their families about death. Why do you think that reluctance is there?
I think that that's a question we can all ask ourselves, because I think we all experience it. I think it isn't much fun to think about death or the death of a loved one. But I also think there's a kind of a cultural reluctance we have in Scotland to talk about these things. It's an interesting finding of the survey that 8 out of 10 people would be glad to help someone they know to organise their end-of-life plans if they asked them. But at the same time, most of us just haven't talked about this. And to me, that shows that we're actually a really supportive society. We want to help each other, but there's something in our culture that is perhaps preventing us from doing it. I don't think it's seen as a normal thing to do.
And so what do you think that culturally or as a society that we can do to try and make it an easier subject to talk about?
I think that we can all play a role in this. For me, it isn't about, you know, making people open up about these things. You know, they're difficult issues and people have their own ways of dealing with things. But I think that what we can all try to do is within ourselves to be supportive if someone does want to talk about death or dying or planning ahead. I think we can try not to be scared of talking about these things if a friend or someone in the family chooses to start a conversation. We can try to be a listening ear or a practical help if someone we know is bereaved.
And just sort of taking it back a wee bit, what kind of negative impacts are there on families and on individuals who haven't prepared a will?
So if we don't think about and plan ahead for kind of death and bereavement and things, many people can die without leaving a will, and that leaves lots of practical and financial complications for family and friends at an already really traumatic time. For example, without a will, unmarried partners and stepchildren have no automatic legal rights to property. Other things that, other problems that not planning ahead can cause is people who've lost capacity to make their own decisions can find themselves having to remain in hospital because they haven't nominated a power of attorney. This wider cultural reluctance to talk about death can mean that healthcare professionals can struggle to have conversations with patients and families about what care or treatments they would want as they approach death, and that makes it really hard to plan ahead for the care that a person would really want or would choose. Also, on a more emotional level, if we don't acknowledge the fact that someone is dying or getting towards the end of their life, then opportunities to resolve issues or even just to say goodbye can be missed.
So on that note then, what kind of advice would you give to people who maybe do want to start talking about these kind of things with their family but just don't know the right way to go around it?
I think that there's some good information about this on our website, which is Good Life, Good Death, Good Grief. The kind of plans you might want to start thinking about are making a will, making a power of attorney. You can think about making an anticipatory care plan. A lot of people want to think about organ donation. It's a good idea to learn about do not attempt cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and think about whether that's something that you would want or not wish to have under different circumstances. It's also good to think about whether you have views about medical treatments that you might not want to have under certain circumstances, and set those down in an advance directive. I think all of these things are good things to discuss with not just your kind of healthcare professionals, but also people that are important to you. You know, you want people around you to know your concerns, what's important to you, what you value the most, and any preferences that you personally would have for the kind of care or treatment that you would want yourself.
Okay, Rebecca, that's pretty much all the questions that I had to ask you, but I'd like to say, is there anything that you would like to add before?
Yeah, thank you. So in Scotland, we have an alliance called Good Life, Good Death, Good Grief, and we're working to try to help Scotland become a place where people can be open about death, dying and bereavement. This week, we have launched in 22 different venues across Scotland a new art exhibition called It Takes a Village, which features photo portraits and short quotes from a range of people who've looked after someone towards the end of life or in bereavement. So the pictures feature nurses and doctors, but also people you might not expect, for example, a teacher, a taxi driver, a son, a daughter, a spouse. And we want to show that everyone has a role in this. You know, if it takes a village to raise a child, it's also the responsibility of a whole community to care for people and be open through the difficult times that can come with death, dying and bereavement. And the exhibition is showing in local venues across Scotland this week, including Dumfries and Galloway Royal Infirmary and several venues throughout Ayrshire, for example, Ayrshire Hospice, Irvine Library, University Hospital Ayr and Ayr Library.
Okay, that's